The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, Creator of the universe and me. Amen. This week, it became clear that the Indigenous Rights Bill, C-262, is unlikely to pass in the Senate. This is, of course, the bill that would compel the Canadian government to harmonize its laws with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This, only a few weeks after the release of the final report of the National Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls, a key recommendation of which is to enact that same law as an effective pathway towards justice for all Indigenous peoples in every possible context. Land rights, self-government, self-determination, the right to health, the right to education, gender equality, and non-discrimination. In other words, rights that those who settled on these lands as inheritors of the colonial empire expect for themselves and for their descendants. The fourth gospel, the one we call John's gospel, and from which we heard read today, is concerned with nothing but life. How we get it, how we lose it, how we find it again, and how we get found by it. All of the gospel prologues, in one way or another, prepare us, the reader, for the rest of the gospel, and the identity of Jesus is established in a number of ways, using Christological titles, divine warnings, or some unpacking of Jesus' birth. In this way, they are all Christological affirmations. But John is the only gospel to speak of Jesus' pre-existence as the Logos, God active in creation. And as a bit of an aside, the only gospel to include a poetic prologue. It goes like this, as we've heard. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. The Word was God, in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life, and the life was light to live by. The life light blazed out of the darkness. The darkness couldn't put it out. I really like the earthiness of the Message translations of the text we heard today. Genesis, in this particular case in John, is ever present, and in this reading, it signals that it's going to be there right from the very beginning in these poetic images. John is interested in creation. John puts his account of Jesus, the Word, right back to the very beginning, the beginning of all time itself. In other words, there never was a time before Jesus. Jesus, as the divine Logos, was not only with God in the beginning, but was God. John's prologue further claims that creation itself originated in the Word, the Logos. The world came into being through him, in him. But then John does something kind of remarkable. After exalting Jesus to transcendence, to the divine, he then claims that the divine Word, this power greater than any across time and history, became flesh, human, and moved into the neighborhood. effectively breaching the barrier between the divine and human realms. God, in other words, God breached God's own divisions. And because of this breach, God's mercy and truth now flow endlessly, and we all live off of this exuberant giving and receiving. As Carl Kuhn in his commentary on this reading notes, for John, the scandal of particularity is not just that in Jesus the divine becomes incarnate and dwells among us. The scandal is also that the transcendent word becomes so deeply enmeshed in our twisted affairs that he is even willing to endure the humiliation and hatred embodied on the cross. The word condescends to this. No, embraces this to enlighten all those who would receive him. He comes to his own and loses his life for them, that they too might become children of God and like him, close to God's heart. So it is that today, in the midst of this jamboree celebration of unity, I lament for our country. Like the exiles who heard Isaiah's words but had been so long away from their homeland that they were tempted to forget God's promises or to wonder if they ever were true. I can only imagine the questions the first peoples of this land have for God. People exiled from their identity and rightful connection to the place of which they are the true descendants. Will they be stuck in Babylon forever? Is there hope? In the midst of this month of hard truths, deep injustices, and the laying raw of wounds too deep to bear, I'm grateful for these readings. I do believe in the Creator who marches this army of stars out of each night, counts them off, and calls each one of them by name. I do believe in the Creator so intimately bound to its creation that that creation exists in the very breath of its Creator. I believe in the Creator that is and will bring renewed strength to those who suffer so that they will fly away with eagle's wings. I do believe that we, the church, have a role to play in the restoration of humanity through gratitude, reciprocity, humility, and right relationships with each other and with creation. We're called to nothing less. In fact, anything less cannot be called Christian. Jesus, the Word made flesh, who moved into the neighborhood and became one of us, spoke to the wind, to the water, to the trees, and called to his disciples, calls to us to do the same. I'm grateful for today's readings because they remind me that the first peoples of this land, this holy land, are keepers of the light. They have known of the intimacy of God from the very beginning. They never needed the colonizers to introduce them to the Word, in the water, in the wind, in the trees, in the fish, in the cedar, in the middle of it all. In the earthy, bloody, messy, beautiful, sacredness of it all, the Word was and is. So if the church is to be about the restoration and reconciliation of the world, we need to do more than just pray, brothers and sisters. We need to listen, truly listen. truly listen. For God's word, as it is proclaimed in the lives of the people of this land. We then need to turn back towards the life light, removing the shackles of our arrogance and pride and leaving them behind so that we too can fly with eagle's wings and become one with the creator of the universe and me. Amen.